Oh my gosh, we are back on the air again. Hey, this is not Slow Robot A Go-Go. This is the other one, Asian Cult Cinema. My name's Mao. With me as always,
Dr. Morbius. You know, on Slow Robot, I think you didn't even give the number of the show, did you?
Not the second time around, no.
No,
but this is the first time around. So
screw it. Can I say screw it?
You just did.
Okay.
So yeah, this is show 60, big 60.
Oh, the anniversary show.
Yeah, anniversary show. Yeah. We've made it to 60.
Yay!
And boy, did we pick a winner for this week.
Yeah, I picked a winner for this week. Yeah. Well, I hate Japan.
Good.
So I love China.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to start out the show with a little thing.
I'm just kidding.
We're going to start the show with a little quiz. More racist, Spike Lee or this movie? Like, is Spike Lee more hateful towards white people, or is this movie more hateful towards
Spike
Japan?
Lee.
I'm
saying yes, man. I'm just
all
saying
right,
Spike
okay,
Lee.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. No, that was it.
I saw a big long list. I was like,
No, I have other things that we will be touching upon as this progresses.
All these, it's kind of like a double-edged sword, because if it's Asian cult cinema, we don't do kung fu movies, then we're gonna be really trying hard. You have to do them, and the reality is 90% of kung fu movies, it seems like, is this trope, whatever, this storyline. Yeah.
Well, to me. Because what we're talking about is now this is a
Sonny Chiba movies are more like pull body parts off or
yep,
something.
Because I'm Sonny Chiba.
Yes.
So basically, what we're talking about is that this falls into the Bruce Lee clone.
One of the earlier ones.
Clones, because this is Bruce Lee.
Right, Bruce Lee.
Bruce L E, not L E E. You know.
Oh, Bruce L E.
Yeah. So
don't confuse him.
No, please don't. But he does do some of the mannerisms of our hero.
I think he's actually supposed to be playing the character of Bruce Lee from Fist of Fury. That's the idea that what they're trying to pull. I think he's
really
he's got the same.
Possibly.
I think.
This was a strange. Now these clones are always very very weird. The star, generally speaking, will mimic the mannerisms of our hero Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
And they really from that point on just yay China. Boo Japan.
And this is Korea, because he went to Korea.
He did
too.
Go to Korea, which they've done that in a couple movies we've watched already now.
Because he did went to grade like Taekwondo, I think.
Which
right?
makes me think that they are kind of also celebrating when Korea was one nation. When I spent some time in Korea, and my handler there, we were sitting there talking one day at lunch, and she made mention that the day that the wall came down in Germany, everyone in Korea felt like heartbroken because they all have family right across the DMZ.
Oh,
they all have roots right across the DMZ, and then it's brutal for them. Like she literally said they just were crying. It was just, you see that joy of when Germany became one again, and they're like, when's our turn? When do we get it?
No, I don't think
ever. And you hope, because I spent time there, so I hope so too, but probably never. I mean, maybe, you never know. Never say never. Just like James Bond said. So anyway, just like Sean Connery said,
yeah,
never say never unless you back up a load of money to my house.
Yeah, basically.
So anyway, now these movies, they're not all bad. In fact, some of them are comical. Some of them are more of an homage than anything to Bruce Lee. When he died, that was a tragic, tragic event for not only the genre, but for the martial arts world. You know, like, he was that guy. He was the guy, you know. Mm. So, of course, and these, China is basically a photocopying machine. So if there's something hits, they're going to keep photocopying it till the paper falls out, you know. And this is just a photocopy of a photocopy, you know. I was curious why you picked it. Did your friend?
Here's why I picked it, because I was going through the movies and I go, we haven't done a kung fu in a while.
Yeah.
So I looked through it and I saw Bruce Lee and I saw Bolo and I go, oh my god, Bruce Lee and Bolo,
win. Yep, of course.
Young Bolo, 1977 Bolo, you know, all like looking menacing and making those weird like moves that he was doing or whatever.
You
gotta love Bolo, man.
Bolo. He's like one of my favorite guys.
Yeah, yeah.
What was this movie doing then? You don't have...
He's the bad guy, as usual.
Yeah, but
you know?
That's... we'll get into it when the story hits.
Okay.
But the misuse of said star was appalling to me. Now...
Okay. I don't agree with you on that. But
okay, well, that's cool. But, I mean, he didn't do nothing. Like,
he had a few fight scenes.
And he stood there... And they act like an orangutan. Got killed by a girl.
That was his move.
And I know, but I'm like...
No, he got killed because...
Well, I know, but I mean, he was hung up by the girl, held him up, and then he's like, oh, super kick. There was no... It was just... I was like, if you have a dude, it's just like wrestling. You always make the wrestling analogy. In life, in like politics and world, everywhere. And it's true. If you have the monster, you know, the guy that's just... can punch the world in half. Well... Then you show him punching the world in half a while. No one even touches him. No one can ever touch him until the final build-up. Then all of a sudden, he's beating our guy. Our guy's going to die. Oh, but look, good triumphs over evil, you know, or whatever like that. So,
well,
but
and
this dude was...
In this part, anyway.
Yeah, but this dude was huge. When he was like, wow. Good luck finding a bigger Chinese guy.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, even in Bloodsport, which was 88, the guy was gigantic, and he was like 50 at that point. You're like, wow.
I heard some story where he basically like he swam across China to Hong Kong to, you know, for liberty or whatever. He swam across.
I believe it. He's
crazy.
The dude's obviously not right. But I also think he's probably a pretty funny guy. Like in real life, he's probably okay and funny. He's just pretty intense. Weightlifting guy, you know.
And this movie did look like it had a budget to it, you know.
Yeah.
It had like scenes, and they had the scenes in the mountains with the mist and all that, the Misty Mountains and all that.
Misty
that was
Mountain,
really cool.
Wasn't that
Hop? Yeah, Misty Mountain Hop. Yeah, that was cool, you know. And like, but yeah,
was
it's
that
the same story.
Which album was that on?
Misty Mountain Hop was on the fourth.
Okay, all right.
Led Zeppelin 4.
Yeah. Woo, Zeppelin 4.
Zeppelin 4, man. That's a great record, man.
I have a lot
some
of Zeppelin out there.
Some people say that's their best. Not me, but some people say.
What do you like, 3? House of the Holy?
I like 4. I like House of the Holy. And then I like 3, and then 4, and then the first two, and then after that, you know.
How do you know all of them?
Presence is good.
Did you ever see that one? I have the bootleg one. Absence.
You sold it, right?
No, I haven't.
Oh, I thought you sold it. Yeah, that was a weird like looking record.
That was weird.
That was a weird record, man.
So anyway, this is
a music.
This
talk.
Is music cult cinema. So all right, we're gonna take a break, and then we'll actually just get to this movie. You know, it's we've talked about it, around it, this and that, and the other thing, but we'll go into it after these.
Yeah, there's also like the karate versus kung fu thing going on in this too that we've seen in a few other movies.
Yeah,
we can't avoid them.
No,
it's Asian cult cinema, formerly kung fu cinema.
I know. No, and I wouldn't. I know. I have to start finding. See the problem. This is the other problem. Just like the Spike Lee analogy, I don't think there's any Japanese movies that are just like, yeah, you stupid Chinese dogs, and like they don't count like.
Well, because they won, didn't they?
Well, no. I mean,
they
in the grand scheme, they didn't win. But Japan wouldn't be that way, even if they were
that.
You
didn't,
know,
didn't Japan basically like beat China?
Well, they yeah.
And they, you know, well, I mean, but, China's not the biggest thing in the world or one of them.
Yeah,
but
they're bigger
Japan
than us.
Japan was like in the 70s and 80s, remember, when they were the kings of the world?
Yeah,
well,
they didn't make anything saying, oh, you stupid Chinese dogs and like how...
No,
show
because
how,
they had Godzilla.
No, Godzilla.
To the winner goes the spoils, you know what I mean?
I guess. I know what you're saying.
Maybe Hong Kong has a chip on its shoulder. I don't know.
Well, oh, yeah. My God. I mean, Korea, everyone... Korea hates Japan.
Oh, there you go.
I mean...
There
yeah,
you go.
They didn't make
chip
a whole lot of
shoulders,
friends. Yeah, that's what it is, you know. So they're the rough and tumble kids, you know, pushing around the
and big
Japanese.
Old Japan's like, hey, you know, we got Godzilla, we got Gigantor, get out of here. Get out of here. We got Sonny Chiba.
And Kriya's like, we got Yungari, and they're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay. Good on that.
Good on you.
Good on you.
Good for you. Yeah. All right, we'll be right back after these breaks.
Johnny, what can you make out of this?
This? Well, I could make a cap, or a brooch, or a pterodactyl.
The Astro Zombies, subhuman electronic transplants that mutilate, torture, and kill in an orgy of blood-splattering horror beyond your imagination. Their creed was to kill, kill, kill. Watch as a deranged scientist transfers beating hearts and throbbing brains from living bodies to create the Astro Zombies. Horror, suspense, and chills tear at your senses as Wendell Corey and John Carradine match wits in the blood-drenched color film The Astro Zombies, coming soon to your local theater. Watch it and die a thousand deaths.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
Okay, that was interesting. Anyway, we're back. All right, so now, what's the start of this movie is...
What was the start of this movie? At the beginning, there was basically like...
Did they show that guy punching those little the white dolls with this doll?
Yeah, that's right. At the beginning of it, he's doing his workout and he's got these white dolls with the pressure points.
Yeah, all the pressure points, and he's doing his thing. And then his master's like, oh well, you're not really that good, but you're doing better. And then they do this thing. I've done this in real life. They dip their fingers in inks,
yeah,
and they fight each other, and wherever you touch, that means you hit there. What we did was you put some kind of a, like, not lipstick, but, well, it was lipstick, on a on the rubber edge of a rubber knife, and as you're knife fighting with the fake knives, anywhere you hit, you got a mark on you. You're like, well, crap. That means you're bleeding here, and you're dying. That means you're bleeding here, and you're dying. You know, like, so it shows how serious it is as you're practicing.
If you get cut right here, you're dead.
That's a major vein right there.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right.
Across, yeah. I mean, you try and. Knife fighting is kind of like you try to let... If you're going to get cut, so just try and get cut where it don't matter and go in and cut them where it does matter.
Oh, okay.
But the best way to knife fight is to not. To drop it and run away as fast as you can and get to a car because nobody wins in a knife fight. So anyway, now... And this movie, immediately they're like, oh, you know, the Japanese have come in and they've shut down...
The dojos, right?
Because then they show this long thing... And this is where the start of it is like, oh my god. At every turn, they made the Japanese look as dumb and as brutally horrible as possible. Like, there was no let-up. This was the same as Nazis. You know how...
Basically.
Like in movies, the Nazis, like, basically will kick a puppy, and they'll step on, like, a seal's face, just... Not seal the singer, but a seal, like a baby seal's face, just because they want to do that before their coffee in the morning, you know. Well, that's what this movie falls into, like that whole thing where you're just like, there's never a let up of the beating their kids and fighting, and we'll kill them with guns, and you're like, okay, all right, we're in for the long haul with this one.
Yeah.
If you you know, so the general's like, well, we'll show them and go and shut down the thing, and then. Then a girl runs up and is like, oh, they shut down the dojos. Or no, a guy runs up and tells our hero, they've shut down the dojos and they killed your brother who was running the school or the gymnasium at the in the town. You know?
Yeah, right.
And now he's like, oh my god, I'm really angry. And the teacher, which was nice, this is normally where the teacher says, now remember, don't ever fight. This teacher was like, now remember, kill him, you know. So that was refreshing. I did enjoy that part of it where they were like, there was none of that fake tension because the hero needs to fight but can't because he promised to his mom and his teacher that he wouldn't.
Yeah, right.
His teacher's like, nah, this is for our country and go kill him.
Yeah, and basically like, there's this whole subtext where Japan is like karate and mainland China or whatever is kung fu and they're inferior and... You know, this whole thing, and I'm like, oh, okay, whatever.
That debate rages on. The reality of it is it's the fighter. I mean, there's different schools, there's different disciplines. The reality of it is it's the person that's doing it. There's some of the most violent people in the world that would tear through our Olympic team, and they've never been in a dojo in their life. You know.
Exactly.
Like, so that, but that is often in, that's often in the, in these too, because it is a means of pride, you know. I would never want anyone to besmirch the school I became a black belt in. That's my lineage now, you know. And the same with kung fu and karate and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah. But it seems to me like the Chinese want to eliminate kung fu because it's like, it's almost like,
or
hey,
karate.
Karate. No, the Chinese, the Japanese.
The Japanese want to, but that was just
because it's almost like we're the you know, totalitarians, and the this is the people's martial arts, and we got to get rid of it.
And the Japanese, they pitched it more of a, this is where an uprising would happen, so end them.
Even though they had guns and the other people didn't.
That's the thing. And now I know a little bit about Japan and Japanese. Do you know how much fighting they would do in a team of, against a team of karate people? None. They would shoot them dead. And this time, at that point, when they were at war, would have shot them dead.
But the colonel said, he basically says, okay, I want you to send the best five guys that you have, because I don't want any, I don't want a shot. I want them to be eliminated through martial arts, because it was like a pride thing or whatever. You know? And I'll go, okay.
And that was kind of cool, because it's not much of a movie if you walk in with a tank and start blowing people away. You're like,
people
well,
that are unarmed, you know?
That's what
it's
I mean.
It's not much of a fight.
It's exactly. So it was cool. And again, you know, that was one of the things I was like, well, all right, you know, it was plausible. Not likely, but plausible that they say, oh, okay, do this the right way and go fight hand-to-hand. Our martial art's better. So you have a lot of egos competing.
Yeah, five
you know.
Of our great karate guys would destroy all of them, you know.
So. And then they showed, like, they did that thing where they cut to somebody and they're like, oh, this guy, he getting off a plane, he was the world champion for 15 years in a row. And then, you know, this and that and the other thing, you know, and then there's, now I'm mixing it up because this isn't where they had those other ones where they brought in the hired ones.
Yeah.
Or is it? No, this is right. At first they send like a couple guys. And they get mopped up. You know, this guy who's avenging his brother's death, they kind of waltz up to
Bruce
him. Bruce Lee. They waltz up to Bruce Lee as he's at his brother's tombstone.
Yeah.
And he beats two of them up and he throws one off of a cliff. And then the one, and or kills one, throws one off a cliff, and then the one gets back. Oh, no, two get back. Sorry. I'm chatting.
Yeah.
So he goes back to the general and says, oh, and this is the general's son. And then and he goes, oh, this guy is really good. And he's like, the general starts slapping around and says, you disgraced our family. So the son commits seppuku, or, you know, he guts himself with a sword and kills himself so he doesn't disgrace his family name, which was a thing. And so now the general is really angry. This is where he says, bring in those, enough playing around, bring in the five best guys from Japan, we're going to end this, we're going to tear through this thing. And he says, it doesn't even have to be from Japan, hire, put a bounty on their heads, this will be the end of it, right? This is where
because
now they do the clips, this is where the clips come in, because they're like, so they show the one guy who's been a champion for 15 years in a row in karate, and he jumps across 20 people like an Evel Knievel jump and punches through 100 bricks, you know. And then they show Bolo Yeung, who's just in there flexing and looking like a big ape. Literally. I mean, I'm not being...
Yeah, he really was.
He's like
going,
whoo-hoo-hoo, like he's...
Yeah, he had some weird kind of kung fu style or whatever.
It was
like,
no
okay,
kung fu.
Yeah.
They're like, whatever. And then you have some guy who's a super swordsman, and then you had just two guys. Or two Chinese... No, these are two Chinese guys who were just like mercenaries.
Yeah.
And one was the classic bigger guy, you know... And then there was, like, the skinny, sneaky guy.
Yeah. It was like, you know, the Magnificent Five or whatever. They all had their own little superpower.
Yeah. So they go, first they go to the dojo.
And they
start beating up
the sensei.
The sensei, yeah. And this is where I was like, okay. I think you could probably count on one hand the amount of times anyone hurt a Chinese fighter other than an underhanded last-minute stab in the back. Like these best guys were getting beat up by this older guy, and you're like, look, man, you know, if you say this is a guy who's a 15 years in a row a champion, you know who's going to hit him? Nobody. You know, if you have the guy that you're propping up as Bolo Yeung, he can punch the world in half, wouldn't you just have him standing there, and eventually when he walks in, which he was standing in the back, and I was like, does he have a cold or something today? Like, I just stand there. You don't have to do anything. So then he does this like that weird monkey thing, but he throws his brother on him to get him. Like, it's all cheating. Like, they wouldn't let these the guys who were national pride, they wouldn't let them get beat any other way other than an underhanded cheat.
Yeah.
Because what happens is a peasant walks up with some sticks and goes, "Oh, you shouldn't fight this guy. I'll help you," and he stabs the sensei in the stomach with a knife while he wasn't looking, because the sensei thought this guy was on his side.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, God. And this is the beginning of it. I guarantee you're not going to see a Japanese guy, because there's no Japanese people in this movie. You're not going to see one of them hit a Chinese person, like, ever. They wouldn't even let them, like, hit people. They wouldn't even let them get. Then that's the part that I was like, here we go. But that's eliminating the tension. That's where I was like, okay, so there's no drama, there's no tension. I'm just gonna keep beating people up, hun, win, and yay China, and that's the end of it. Like, the ending is good, which we'll talk about it.
Yeah, but you know what was funny about this movie? Did you notice that it went from widescreen to
back and forth.
Like, somebody added another version of this movie, because that ending wouldn't have happened. Wouldn't that ending square as opposed to widescreen? Maybe the happy version.
And at first I was like, is this artistic? QT step in to do some artistic stuff?
Somebody doing a completed version of it.
Yeah, so they pieced it together. This was probably lost forever until somebody found a couple copies.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're going to take a trailer break. We're going to come back and we're going to wrap this up. Will China beat Japan? Let's tune in and find out.
Okay.
Run! It's Godzilla!
It looks like Godzilla, but due to international copyright laws, it's not.
Damn, we should run like it is, Godzilla!
Though it isn't.
The clones of Bruce Lee.
The respected and loved Chinese superstar Bruce Lee has just died.
Starring Dragon Lee, Bruce Lee, and Bruce Lai.
Suddenly and without warning, he fell into a coma today.
The clones of Bruce Lee brings a new dimension to martial arts films.
Scientists and police made a momentous decision. They would create the clones of Bruce Lee. These identical specimens of the late Bruce Lee are trained in all the martial arts through scientific techniques. The Clones of Bruce Lee, starring Bruce Lai, Bruce Lei, Bruce Tai, and Dragon Lee. To this theater soon.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
All right, we are back. And off air, we kind of were talking a little bit about it, because now at this point, the brother goes to the next town over by his teacher says, go to this guy. He'll help you with the resistance, and he'll show you a few tricks that are going to make you better.
So is that when he goes to Korea?
Yeah, he goes to Korea.
To learn Taekwondo.
Yeah, to learn Taekwondo, and which will, you know, give you a different appreciation. And also, it'll introduce a love interest, because why not? So now he's in Korea. And after that group finally manages to kill the sensei through his trickery, then they're like, oh, then they find out he went to Korea. And there's other scenes of like the general screaming and being a complete idiot, but whatever. So now that they follow him to Korea. Now he's there. He falls in love with the kinda. They don't say, "Oh, I love you," but he's hanging around with the girl a lot. The teacher's showing him how to use Taekwondo, which is a formidable, you know, Taekwondo's. If you ever see it, it's an Olympic sport. There's some pretty brutal fighting in that.
Yeah.
So he's learning that. And then the Japanese crew rolls up and kills... I forget who they kill. They kill one guy who's like, "You can't be here." And then they, like, surround the guy, and there lots of, like, flutter foo, which was what you
early,
were talking about.
Early.
Yeah, like, where they're, like, that... Like, and they're jumping and jumping, and they're doing the reverse shots where they're jumping off of a high porch or a brick wall... and that's where we were talking a little bit about off air. I didn't think that the fighting was
visceral enough.
Was or just it just seemed not like they didn't practice it or something like that. Like they also used the wrong angles because you could see how badly they were missing. Like when they would punch, especially when they would punch at the girl, they were like 3 feet away, and you could see it. Like you could see the fist was like a foot away when they're doing it. Now, I'm not expecting, like, you know, like, laser accuracy, but at least get to, like, WWE levels of missing. You know what I mean? Where you're kind of there, but not hitting somebody. And I noticed that a lot, and also the fighting wasn't like that down and dirty, realistic fighting that we've seen in a lot of these movies where it's...
I mean, Bruce Lee was good.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, and that's
some
what I mean.
Good moves and stuff.
They're
like
good
that.
Fighters, so this should have been a little bit more... flowing and
okay.
serious fighting where you're like, okay, this is a good scene. You know, they piece together a 2 or 3 minutes of showdown fighting, but this is kind of like run, and whatever.
Okay.
And maybe I'm not giving enough credit. I don't mean to be
mean-spirited,
it was one of those things where I was like, come on now, give us something. But so anyway, I can't remember how the Tai Chi guy die?
I don't even remember who the Tai Chi guy was. What did he look like? Because I remember he had his original sensei, and then he had the guy in Korea.
The Korean
they came
guy.
To get did they kill him? I think they did kill him.
Yeah, they killed him, but it was again through underhandedness.
Yeah, they always killed through underhandedness because it was like 5-1 or something like that. Yeah, I believe they did kill him.
Yeah, but then
he teams up with a girl at some point in Korea.
The girlfriend.
Okay.
That's the girlfriend and him. Now they're like a team. And he started fighting as a team because she beats up somebody and then they start... They actually do hit her once or twice.
Yeah, she takes
Bolo Young whips her against the wall.
She runs
over and starts hitting him, and it was funny because he just stood there.
Oh, that's it.
And I started like laughing because I was like... Oh, I didn't touch on this earlier. The one guy had a Hitler stash.
Oh, of course
the Japanese
he did.
Guy. And that's why I said, damn it.
Of course
Hitler's stash has been ruined for all time. Thanks, jerk.
Why don't they just call it Chaplin's stash and make it look cool again?
Some hipster movement does it, maybe we can bring it back.
Yeah,
but
the man bun and the Chaplin stash.
I don't think so. No. I don't think it's going to fly because it's forever been destroyed by one dude. Selfish jerk ruined a horrible male fashion forever. So anyway, so one of the Japanese guys has the Hitler's stash because evil. So anyway... Now they kill one or two of the crew, and Bolo Young is staying there, and this is the part where I kind of said they didn't use him for this monster that he is. He's standing there like he has a cold, just kind of standing there like, whatever. Then he's chasing her a little bit, and he does that weird, that really odd style he goes down on all fours like a gorilla would.
Like mad monkey.
And
kind of
like goes, and then he like swats at somebody. And then the girl throws a whip around his hands, and they pull him up over a tree, and Bruce Lee super kicks him and kills him.
Yeah.
And you're like, now wait, what are we doing here? Because this is...
Well, they had to figure out a way to get him because he was too big for both of them. Yeah, they couldn't even put a dent in him. Basically.
I know, but they should have used that a little bit more. Like, have him...
Yeah, no, you know.
But whatever. Again, and I was sad, and that's where I was like, I should turn this off.
There was plenty of Bolo, though, in the movie. It wasn't like they just underused him or anything like that.
No, but he just stood there in white. Like, he literally just stood there in white while the other people did stuff, and then he was like, oh, well, okay, and...
Yeah, because he was a formidable, you know, he was like a Hulk or something. Yeah. He doesn't have to, like, jumpy fight. He's like, look, man, don't mess with me. I'll knock you down with one finger or whatever.
He would. And so when he died, I was like, man, I should turn this off now. But I didn't. For you guys, for everyone here.
Yeah, sorry.
For you and for all the listeners, yes. I didn't. Although part of me was like, I just turn it off now. As soon as the bullet done, I was like, well, I'm done. I click and that's the end of it and leave.
Yeah, well.
But I didn't. So now what happens after this?
Oh, God. Okay, so then he eliminates, Bruce Lee eliminates the five guys.
Mm-hmm.
So now the army goes to Korea to look for him, I think is what happened.
Yeah.
So then there's like this scene where they're like at a Korean like bar or whatever, and that's when like the girl, you know, Bruce Lee's girl,
yeah,
like brings him into a room, and he's like, he's gonna have some funny business with her. That's the emperor, the chief, the leader or whatever, and then she beats the crap out of him.
Yeah, because this girl just out of nowhere can beat up the whole team of army guys.
Well, no, she just beats the main guy.
But,
I think.
Yeah, but remember, she runs out and she starts beating
him
up.
And you're
like, okay, movie.
She couldn't beat Bola, but she could beat the rest of the guys. Because they were not real great martial artists.
Apparently.
They're good shooters, though, but not great martial artists.
Yeah. Armed generals with swords. And this dainty green girl beats them all up.
So then she beats them up and then she escapes. And then the last thing that I remember about this movie was that the general's like, okay, well, I know how we're going to get him now. I've got these two goofy dudes. These guys were goofy. The two, like, goofy Doug Henning-looking guys or whatever.
Yep.
These guys are unbeatable.
Completely white beards. The Pai Mei guys. They look like Pai Mei.
Yeah.
But they had the world's famous silver stick with a claw out of metal on it. Like, it's a metal stick, and it has a claw, a hand claw. And usually there's a chain involved, too, where the hand flies out and they'll grab part of you and fly back in. So now these two guys, and they come, and they're kind of doing, like, this carnival act where they're like, hiding behind each other, so there's multiple arms.
Yeah, they're basically, the army finally hunts down Bruce Lee. They find him.
Yep.
And then they set him up, you know, and they've got, like, all the... I mean, the whole army's there. They're all...
Yeah.
Arm to the teeth or whatever, so they set him up for the final fight. So they go like, hey, you're never Bruce, you're never gonna go past these guys. So, and then these guys are like a bunch of tricksters too.
Yeah,
they got all the gimmicks,
mirror,
they got the mirror, they start doing these little like dance moves or whatever. This is kind of dopey, kind
this
of
is bad,
you know.
I played this at one power speed, fast forward,
yeah,
and it was barely moving. I'm like, oh my. Like,
yeah.
They did it in such slow-mo that at one speed forwarding, it was still kind of slow, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Bruce is able to, through a lot of, you know, getting beat and a lot of things, and the claws grabbing him and all that, he's able to do some block. He locks on both of them, and he's able to get the pressure points.
Super punch, and then he did that thing where they showed an x-ray. Of a heart punch.
No, yeah, I've seen that before. The head, like, you know.
Yeah.
When he punches the guy and you see the x-ray of the head. Yeah, I did it with it. So he knocks him out. So he's like, so then he's the champ. And all the soldiers are there and the general's there. And Bruce Lee is like, I'm going to leave now, but I'm going to show you that you can't beat us and blah, blah, blah. And he's giving them, and I'm going to go back to China or Hong Kong or whatever. And I'm going to beat the crap out. We're going to beat the crap out of you when you get there, you know. And the guy, the general's like, you know, gives him some guff or whatever. And Bruce Lee just walks away. And,
he goes, if you're a real samurai, you won't shoot.
Yeah, you won't shoot. That's
as one last insult of the nonstop insult, you know, because it's saying you're such a murderous dog, and you're such a, you're not honorable. It's basically the last sentence is, if you shoot me, you're not honorable. And they shot.
Okay, now it seems to me like in this movie, like I said, it cuts together a widescreen and a flat and a 4:3.
Yeah.
And they fill in like missing scenes or whatever. You know, it happens every once in a while magically, you know.
Yeah.
It seemed to me like, from what I remember, it was like the movie ended in the widescreen version where he just walks into the sunset.
Into like water.
But then the other version of when they added in the other version, the guy wasn't a samurai.
Yeah, he shot, they got fire.
He shoots him, and then the end, and you're like, aww. Kind of a bummer.
The first time it did that widescreen to 4:3 thing, I thought I had made it up in my head. Like, I was like, that didn't...
That's a flashback.
I couldn't remember it, and I'm like... Did that really happen? But then it did again. I was like, okay, this is jumping back and forth. Because then I'm sitting there in my head like, okay, is this an artistic thing where every time there's something important, it's doing this? No? 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 Okay. No, it's just spliced in stuff. Whoever built this for YouTube's, I hate saying that. I'm sorry, everyone. YouTube was just cut up a couple different prints and made it one.
This could have been like some. This could have been a bootleg guy did to do a complete version, and somebody just put it on YouTube.
Probably. I mean, yeah, honestly.
It was a German. I think it wasn't the title like in German.
Oh yeah, it was like
a German print dubbed in English with flat screen or pan and scan inserts inside. So it was a real
Hodge
production.
And this was, and the voiceover acting was that one that you know, everyone.
Australian.
Yeah. Hey, you guys, get over here and fight like China.
Yeah,
I don't know what to say about it. You know, what are you going to give this one?
I'm going to give it a 6. It's not great, but I'd give it a shot, you know.
Yeah, I'll go 5. 5-5. I'm there with you, you know. I didn't hate it. There was some stuff I was like, okay, you know.
Yeah.
I wish they would have used Bolo differently. And that was my main complaint. A little bit of fighting practice or choreography before you shoot.
You got your hopes up for Bolo. Bolo!
You see Bolo, all my friends here. Oh, that's sad. Oh, well. All right, that's it for this week. My name's Matt, with me as always.
Dr. Morbius.
And we will see you next week for more Asian cult cinema shenanigans.
Easy for you to say.
It wasn't easy for me to say. That's the joke. See you next week, everyone.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.